Okay, here's a little game. Four pictures, all with a link. Okay, so if you could look at those pictures and work out what they are. Let's have the first picture up. That's the next slide. Anyone? Guess. Well, you're not getting any prizes, grown-ups. You put your hand up, and then I point to you, and you tell me what it is. Yes. It is chili con carne. Well done. Okay, let's have the next one up. Okay, now I don't want the actual name of it. I want to know what type of creature this is. Yep. Which is a yes, but I want a little bit more. What? Yeah, Emma. Carnivore. Very good. Okay, thank you very much. Next one. Okay, sure. Love shouting out. Hands up. Only one hand up. Sammy, yes. Carnival. Well done. That is a carnival. And the final one is no shouting out because it spoils it. Yes. Carnation. Yay. Okay. They are all words with the letter carne in them, which actually means any Latin scholars. Hands up. You a Latin scholar? Okay. It does. It means meat or it means flesh. Okay, so let's go back to chili con carne. All the way back, if we just, can we go back? Thank you very much. Chili con carne is chili with flesh. Chili with flesh, or chili with meat. Let's move on. A carnivore is a devourer of flesh. Yeah, devour, vor, and carne, flesh. Let's move on. This is an interesting one, carnival. Carnival. Anyone know why carnival is called carnival? This is quite tricky, actually. And Steve Mitchell. It is to do with Lent. Well done. It is to do with Lent. It's the festival that precedes the giving up of meat for Lent. So you have a big splurge of carnivaling, as it were, before you then give up meat for Lent. So that's very good. And the final one is carnation. Carnation. Why is a carnation called a carnation? Anyone? You can guess it, actually. Yes, Celine? Yeah, it's pink, which is the colour of flesh. Isn't that interesting? Anyone know that? I didn't know any of this when I researched it. Judy helped me do all the research, and I thought, my goodness, that's fascinating. All these words linked with carne, flesh, but the most important word that we want to talk about this Christmas is the incarnation, yeah, which is Christ made flesh. Let's move on. Let's have the next slide. John 1:14 says this, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Or, the Word became flesh and pitched his tent amongst us. That's an interesting translation. Or the Message says, the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Don't you like that? That sounds really trendy, doesn't it? Moved into the neighborhood. Yeah? So, Jesus becomes flesh and moves into the neighborhood. Now, what I want us to do is I just want to have a quick look at the word word. The word word is an odd word, isn't it? It's very strange. Why word? Why the word? It doesn't sound that great, isn't it? You have phrases like word on the street or a word in your ear or empty words or meaningless words or that's just words. Yeah, and we need to realize that the word in the Bible is very different to the word that we understand in the English language. They translate really badly, lost in translation, as it were. Because the word in the Bible is not just a word, it is something far more important. It's called logos in the Greek, and it means far more than just a word. So let's run through what the word means. Next slide. The word that spoke creation into being. Next slide. The word that created all the laws that govern life. Next word. Next slide. The word that spoke life into each creature. Let's move on. The word that established the moral laws by which life should live. The word that sets up a means for new life when sin wrecks the old life. the word that breathes resurrection, new life, into creatures that have been dead for hundreds of years. And finally, a word that knows no beginning, no end, is perfect and without flaw. Can you see how word is far bigger a word than simply word? This is word that sustains life. This is word that creates life. This is word that brings new life. This is the word of God becoming flesh, becoming carne. It's a crazy, crazy plan. I've got my first prop. This is going to some lucky young lady who's sitting up straight and behaving themselves, and this is Hammy the hamster. Okay? Hands up who owns a hamster right now. Smattering. Hands up who's ever owned a hamster in their entire lives. Yeah, most of you. Okay, so you're with me on this. Hammy the hamster. Now imagine my little Hammy the hamster is really poorly. Okay? Really sick. And so what I do with Hammy is I take him to the vet. Okay? And I go to the vet with Hammy. And the vet says, okay, what you need to do is you need to have a blood transfusion for Hammy. And the only the only blood that is available is yours. So the only blood match type with Hammy the hamster is me. Okay, imagine that. Now imagine if the vet then says, now what I've got is that there's only one thing we can do in this situation. I've got this incredible shrinking machine. And so what I can do is I can turn you into a hamster. Okay? And then what you need to do is you need to become a hamster like Hammy. We're roughly the same sort of proportion. Okay? So what needs to happen is I just need to shrink down and be the same size as Hammy. And then what will happen is I will then need to give Hammy a blood transfusion. Okay, imagine this is the tube from Hammy to me. Yeah? I need to give Hammy a blood transfusion. And it'll be such a difficult blood transfusion that in giving Hammy this blood transfusion, I sadly won't make it. But Hammy will live. Yay! Not a lot of cheering for Hammy. Come on, let's hear a bit more for Hammy. Hammy will live! Thank you. Thank you. Hammy will live. Now, hands up, who would embark on such a plan for your hamster? No, you would not. Hands up, who would embark on such a crazy, stupid, ridiculous plan? None of us would. I wouldn't. I wouldn't do this for the hamster, even if I loved him very dearly. After all, what, hamsters live for 3 years, if they're lucky? They're stupid, they're stubborn, they're dense creatures. Okay, they don't do anything useful. They just need to be fed and watered and cleaned. And generally, they're a pain in the neck, like most pets. I'll be lynched afterwards. So who would do that for their hamster? No one. But listen, when Christ came to earth, when he became incarnate, when he became flesh, that is precisely what he did for us. Embarked on such a crazy plan. And that's the only word for it. It is utterly, utterly unbelievable that Christ should become flesh. And can I just say, the distance between Christ and humanity is far greater than the distance between us and a hamster. Yeah? Christ becomes flesh, becomes us. And then this transfusion, this blood transfusion takes place where he gives his life for us and dies in the process so that we might live. Isn't that extraordinary? Isn't that staggering? At Christmas, we celebrate the process, as it were, where the vet shrinks God down to humanity. Yeah, we celebrate the incarnation. And I'm just going to pray now. Lord, I just pray that it's a silly illustration. It's so ridiculous in many ways. But Lord, as I've spoken it through, Lord, I pray that we will just see the amazing majesty of what you chose to do. Lord Jesus, you decided to become one of us. You decided to shrink yourself down from the God who created the universe, from the one who designed everything, from the one all power, all wisdom, all knowledge. You shrank yourself into a tiny little baby on Christmas Day. And that is amazing. And you didn't just do it because you could do it. You did it in order to save us. You did it so that you could be one of us, so that you could give your blood, you could give your life for us, so that we would be saved. Lord, if anyone is waking up to that this morning, Lord, I want to pray that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit and that you just whack them and hit them hard and help them to see how amazing this truth is. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. And so what we have is, what is our response? I put, how should we respond to that? Well, we should worship him. We've done that this morning. We should worship Jesus for what he's done. We should thank him for what he's done. And the final thing, and the most important thing, is that we should follow his example. And we should make ourselves incarnate to those around us. Yes, we should be present for those around us. There's a famous joke which I love to tell at Christmas time, and this is no different. Okay, there it is. Okay, doesn't fit so well with the glasses. Should I put the mic here or here? I don't know. Anyway, okay. Okay, Darth Vader goes up to the Emperor and he says to the Emperor, I know what Luke is getting for Christmas. And the Emperor says to Darth Vader, you must be strong in the Force, Darth. How do you know what Luke is getting for Christmas? And Darth Vader responds, I have felt his presence. Some of you sound like you've heard that one for the first time. It's a tremendously profound joke, because it relies on the pun of the word presence and presence. Presence that you give and presence that you are. Yeah, there's a series called Bread, which is for the oldies, that we watched many years ago when we were in the 70s. And do you remember? And there's the family living in Liverpool, and Grandpa lives up the road in a little house. Basically, they keep on ignoring Grandpa until Grandpa starts complaining and says to them, you never come and visit me. And so the whole family troop ran with loads of presents to give to Grandpa. And Grandpa says to them, I don't want your presents. I want your presence. Yeah? I want you there. So can I just say, my challenge for you this Christmas, challenge to me, is who are you going to be there for this Christmas? Our lives are so full. They can be full of events. They can be full of things to do. They can be... But what I want the Holy Spirit to put on your heart and your mind is, who are you going to be there for? Who are you going to be present in your presence for this Christmas? And I mean presence. Sometimes we can do family obligations and we can go and visit and we can do the 20 minutes and then we can nip away. Or we can... Do you know what I mean? Who are you actually going to be present for with your presence this Christmas? Yeah, that is the challenge. And I just want you to have a think about that. Let's just bow our heads quietly. Holy Spirit, just put on us who you want us to spend quality time with this Christmas. To look out for, to spend time and actually be there with them. Not looking forward to the next engagement, not thinking about where you might be, not in some sort of alternative reality or universe, but who are we going to be really present for this Christmas? Show us, I pray, so that it isn't just a whirlwind of events, it isn't just a carnival of activities, it isn't just a rushing from here to there, but Lord, that you made yourself present for us. And you are asking us to make ourselves present for those around us. Help us in that, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.